Now, I don't know if throughout your life you've been one to take dares much or not. Like, maybe you were dared. I had these kinds of dares where you were dared to jump off of the roof of your house or a friend's house. And by the way, some of the dares I took, some of them I didn't take. But we had all these different dares. Or maybe you were dared to climb, see who could climb the highest in some really big tree, or to see who could hold their breath longest underwater. Some of you maybe had some dares in the whole drinking deal to see in a certain amount of time who could drink the most, and you drank yourself till you were plastered on the deal. Not recommending that, but maybe that was a dare that you faced in your life. Maybe the dare was to ask somebody out that you didn't even really know. So we have all these different dares that we face. I remember one of the ones that I faced, and there were a bunch of them. But one of them was to ride. We had this, a friend of mine and I, we were at the side of this really, really steep hill. We had this beat-up bike, and he's like, man, I dare you to ride that down. It's not like there's any path or trail or anything like that. I'll do it, no big deal. And so I go over, I get on the bike, and I look down. And as I'm looking down, I'm going, this was probably not the most brilliant thing for me to agree to do. But I take off, I do it anyway, and I head down, and there's no pedaling. I mean, it's just flying. I'm just flying, holding on for dear life. I mean, it's just, I'm just flying down this hill, and I'm bouncing everywhere, and I'm about to make it, and right towards the end, I hit something. I don't know what. The bike goes flying one way. I go flying the other way. Well, we hadn't been to the bottom of it, so we didn't even know what was down there. At the bottom, there's all this glass all over the place. I end up slicing my hand over. I'm open. I'm bleeding all over the place. That was the end of the dare. When I go up to him, okay, now it's your turn. No, he didn't want to have anything to do with that. Some of the dares that we take on are just goofy or just dumb. Some of them we're doing to impress somebody or maybe to prove something to somebody. Some of them, they are probably good. Some of us as parents, we've kind of dared or challenged our kids to get straight A's. And if they do, we'll buy them, you know, a new phone, buy them a car, the moon, you know, whatever it is that we do. But the ones that typically get us in trouble are the ones that friends push us to pursue, right? And we end up taking this dare in order to prove, I don't even know what we're trying to prove most of the time. I mean, that we're idiots? I don't know. But we're typically we're trying to prove we're not afraid, we're tough, whatever it is that we're trying to prove. When the scripture that we're going to be looking at today, there's a challenge I want to dare you to take. But the reality is that this challenge is actually unreachable. It's a challenge that's impossible. You'll never fully reach this challenge if you take it. But just the pursuit of it, just embracing this challenge, will change your life. It'll change your perspective. It will change your attitude. It could change your marriage. It will change relationships. It'll change the way you view your job. It will change the way that you handle your time. It'll change things in your life. And even as I say that, you may go, well, you're kind of hyping this up kind of big. I mean, you're making some really big claims. I'm telling you, if you will pursue this wholeheartedly, it will undoubtedly make you a better person, better husband, better wife, better mom, dad, boyfriend, girlfriend, employee, neighbor, friend. This is big. I mean, this could reorient the way you do your life. This could set you on a new path. This will augment your reality. So here's the challenge. You ready? And then we're going to unpack where it comes from. But here's the challenge. Imitate God and love like Jesus. Imitate God and love like Jesus. You pursue that with everything you got, and I'm telling you, it will change you. Now, I want you to look at where this comes from. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, or be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Same verse, different translation says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Like a child imitates his parents, what we need to do is we need to imitate God. I don't know if this ever happened to you if you're a parent, but I remember multiple times with my kids when they were really young, I'd be standing somewhere, maybe like I'm standing right now, or maybe sitting on the floor somewhere, and all of a sudden I'd look over and I'd see one of my kids, young kids, and they'd be trying to stand just like me. They'd be standing right over here, kind of doing this little pose with their hand on some, kind of doing this little deal. Or I'd be sitting on the floor and I had my legs kind of crossed and kind of doing this number, and I look over and all of a sudden one of my kids is doing the same thing. And all of a sudden it's like I realize, man, they are watching everything that I do. And you know what? That's how we need to live with God. We need to be watching everything he does. We need to be following his example. We need to be imitating him. We need to be learning from God. So number one, the first thing that we see in this verse is that we need to imitate God. We need to imitate God. And when most of us, when we hear that, when you just heard me say that even a little bit earlier, you're going, well, there's no way. I mean, I can't do that. God is perfect. He loves with his pure, unconditional love. I mean, I'm not perfect. I can't do that. I can't imitate God. And you know what? You're right. You can't. At least not perfectly. There's no way that we can do that. We can't, not on our own, but we certainly can make imitating God the aim, the goal, the objective of our lives. And what makes that even remotely possible is that we are, as it says here, we are dearly loved children. But you see, when we open our lives up to Jesus, when we become followers of Jesus, we become children of God. Now, some of you may have been under the impression that we're all, you know, everybody is a child of God. No. Everybody is a creation of God's. Everybody is a creature of God's. But we become his children, we're told in Scripture, we become his children as we place our faith, as we place our trust in Jesus based on what Jesus did by dying for us on the cross. When we place our faith in him, that we become children of God. And once we become his children, he fills us up with his spirit and he fills us up with his love. It's like he fills up our love tank so that then we can love him, we can love God, and we can love the people around us. But what we need to do is we need to own the significance of being children of God. We need to own the depth, the implications of being his children. You see, as his child, what that means is that you are adopted by God. You were chosen by God. You are valued. You are an heir, a joint heir actually with Jesus. And as a result, you have special access to God the Father. Man, if you lived your life, I mean, really believing that, what do you think that would do in you? What do you think that would do for like your confidence? I think it would help a lot of us relax and quit trying to impress people around us. Quit trying to prove something. Quit trying to prove that we're somebody. Because we would live with the realization that we are somebody. You are somebody. You are a child of God's. We're his children. Now, we won't ever imitate or follow God's example perfectly, but just the journey, just taking the challenge seriously can do so much in us and around us. It will change things when we pursue that in our lives. So number one, the first thing that we need to do is we need to imitate God. But how do we do that? And you see, part of the reason that Jesus came into this world is to give us an example of what it looks like, what it means to imitate God. So look back at the verses that we're looking at here. Again, Ephesians 1, or five, verses one and two, it says, follow God's example, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So number one, we need to imitate God. Number two, we need to overflow with love. We need to overflow with love. We need to live our lives overflowing love. We need to imitate God. And we need to love like Jesus. Look back at verse 2 there. It says, and walk in the way of love. How? He gives us that. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So how are we to love? Like Jesus. And how did he love? He gave his life for us. He was willing to die for us. He loved us sacrificially. And as you look at his life, you see that part of that sacrifice, part of that giving of himself was that he listened to people. He helped people even when he was tired, even when he was exhausted. He forgave. He saw the potential in people even when they did dumb things, even when they had just blown it. He gave people second chances. He welcomed anyone and everyone. He didn't condone what people did. He didn't wink or minimize wrongdoing or sin, but he didn't harp on people either. He didn't beat people over the head because of junk in their life. In fact, when you look at Jesus' life, the only people that Jesus really came down hard on was the religious people of his day. The religious leaders of his day, the goody-two-shoes, the do-gooders, people that thought that they were better than everybody else. Maybe we need to learn from that. We need to love like Jesus. He loved us sacrificially. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to sacrifice in loving the people around us that we say that we care about and love? Are we really? See, when we start loving like Jesus, things change. It changes things. You see, love is one of those central, foundational, critical truths, concepts, teachings that we do have to come back to again and again and again, because this is just so critical. It's just so important. Jesus made it crystal clear. The most important thing that we can do in our lives is love God and love people. He said the most important command of all the commands that are out there, all the principles, all the guidelines that we have in Scripture is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, Scripture says for the entire law, all the commands, all the laws that we have in Scripture are fulfilled in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, love God, you got to love the people around you. Now, in Ephesians 4, right before this section of Scripture that we're looking at today, we're given some specific examples of how to love like Jesus. We're given some specific examples as to how to love God by loving our neighbors as ourselves. And remember, and some of you may not have realized this, but in the original letter, this was a letter that Paul wrote, and in the early manuscripts, there weren't the chapter breaks that we have. There weren't the different little verse numbers that we have. Those were inserted way later just to help us navigate Scripture, to help us find something and get on the same page. So all this was just one letter. It all just kind of flowed together. So when I look at the verses that come right before these verses that we're looking at today in chapter 4. So I want to go back to verse 29 and kind of build back towards chapter 5 there. Look back at Ephesians 4:29. This is how we can love like Jesus. In verse 29 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And this is right before the section that says we need to imitate God and love like Jesus. And what it's basically saying is, if we can't say something positive, if we can't say something constructive, something that is going to build others up and benefit the people that we're talking to, then we just need to keep our mouths shut. If you can't say something that's going to build somebody up, just don't say anything. That's what it's saying. Just zip it. Just that idea, that concept right there could change your marriage and could change your relationships if you took that seriously. Imitate God and love like Jesus. But it goes on. The next verse, in verse 30, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." It said, don't grieve God by how you treat people. The context here is don't grieve God by how you interact with people. When you're short with people, when you say demeaning things, when you put people down, that grieves God. We're grieving him. It goes on in verse 31. It says, get rid of all bitterness. You've got bitterness. You've got resentment in your life. It says you need to get rid of that. Get rid of all rage. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of brawling and slander along with every form of malice. What those things do is they just eat us up on the inside. They make us miserable. And they wreck our lives. They wreck our relationships. It goes on in verse 32 and says, be kind. Just be nice. Let's just be nice to people. Just be kind and compassionate or tenderhearted to one another. Forgiving. When you forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And then it moves on into chapter 5, into the verses that we've been looking at today, and kind of summarizes all of this and puts like a little bow on it. It says, imitate God and love like Jesus. Imitate God and love like Jesus. But to love like Jesus, what's interesting is we've got to love ourselves. Jesus said the second most important command was to love our neighbor, you remember what it said, as ourselves. The clear implication is that we need to love ourselves, not in an egotistical way, not in a self-absorbed way, but in a healthy way, realizing, understanding that we are his. As we've looked at in the scripture, we are his dearly loved children. That's who you are. So if we're going to love others, we're going to love like Jesus, we've got to love ourselves. We've got to have a healthy view of ourselves. When you look in the mirror, do you ever do that? Do you ever look in the mirror? Of course you do. We all do. We wouldn't even leave our house without looking in the mirror. And it's not just the ladies here that look in the mirror. Us guys, we look in the mirror. We want to check it out. We primp. We do all the little stuff. Guys, in fact, you may be thinking, as soon as I said look in the mirror, you were thinking, oh, yeah, my wife, she spends so much time for the mirror. Some of us guys, we're just as bad as women. We do it a little bit differently, but we'll stand in front of the mirror and, like, flex. All these different things. We don't even have muscles. I don't even know what we're flexing. You know, but we get all caught up in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? For some of you, when you look in the mirror, you feel inadequate. You look in the mirror and you feel unworthy. You feel like you're not enough. But when God looks at you in the mirror, if you're his child, you've placed your faith, you've placed your trust in him. When God looks in the mirror, what he sees, what he says about you is he says, I love you. He says, I appreciate you. I'm grateful for you. Don't do anything dumb because I care about you. You ever had anybody that just appreciates you? God isn't sad. He's not mad that he created you. He appreciates you. He is grateful for you. God looks in the mirror and he says that you're a rare and beautiful treasure. That's what you are to God. Not because of your appearance. Not because you had a good hair day or a bad one or a no hair day or whatever it may be. He just says you're a treasure to me. He says, I forgive you because of what Jesus did on the cross. I forgive you. Whatever it is that you've done, as my child, you are forgiven. And he says, I'm going to hold you to a high standard, but I'm going to make my grace and my mercy available to you. I'm going to hold you to a high standard because you are my child, and I care about you, and I want something for you. So I'm going to hold you to a high standard. I'm not just going to wink at everything that you do. I'm just going to say, it's no big deal. So you've had 8 divorces. It's okay. Go for double digits. Go for 10. Go for 11. It's okay. No, he's not going to do that. He doesn't do that. He says, I'm going to hold you to a high standard, but I know that you're going to blow it. I know that you're going to stumble. And I'm not going to throw you off the bus. I'm not going to run over you with the bus. I'm going to pick you back up. I'm going to put you in your seat, and we're going to keep going. I'm going to make my grace and my mercy available to you. And he looks at you in the mirror, and he says, I have a special calling for you. You see, nobody who is a child of God's is just punching a clock. God has you right where he has you for a reason, and he's going to bring divine appointments in your life because he wants to use you in a special way where you are. He says, I have a special plan, a special calling for you. And when God looks in the mirror at you, he says, I'm cheering for you. I believe in you. You have anybody in your life that's cheering for you? God says, I'm cheering for you. I'm for you. That's what God sees. That's what God says about you. And when we own that, when we absorb that, we internalize that into our life, it informs how we view ourselves. But we can say we believe those things. But if we really believe them, not only is this going to inform how we view ourselves, but it's going to inform how we view and how we interact and how we treat everybody else in our lives. You see, here's the deal. God is a shoveler. The Bible tells us that God is this incredibly generous God whose mercies are new every day. And so every day, it's like he steps into our life and he says, you need some more love? Here. Here's some more love. And he shovels love into our life. You need some more mercy? Here. Here's some more mercy for you. You need to know you're forgiven? Here. Let me remind you of how much you are forgiven. You're still carrying guilt in your life? Let me remind you what Jesus did for you on the cross. And he just keeps shoveling into our lives and reminding us, you've been cleansed. You have been forgiven. You in Christ, you are a new person. Let me just shovel that into your life. Let me remind you of that. The old is new. The old is gone. The new has arrived. And he just keeps shoveling love and mercy and grace and acceptance into our lives. And we like that, don't we? I mean, we love to get God's acceptance. We love those shovelfuls of grace and mercy that he just keeps shoveling our way. But here's the issue. Here's the problem in so many of our lives. We celebrate the shovel, but then we turn around and we dispense the spoon. God gives us these shovelfuls of love and grace and mercy and acceptance. And then somebody needs something from us and we go, oh, you messed up again. You need compassion. Well, okay. I guess I'll give you a little compassion. Here you go. But you need to know, the reason I gave you a little compassion is because I'm a Jesus person. You just need to know that. Really? Somebody needs forgiveness. And we've been given shovelfuls of forgiveness. And we look at people and we go, forgiveness, I forgive you. I don't know. I need to process that. I need to talk to my small group about that. I need to talk to my counselor about that. I need to talk to my accountability partner. I think I'm gonna sleep on that. I'm gonna fast and pray on that at night while I'm sleeping for 10 years. Let me get back with you on that. Forgiveness. Huh. Okay. I guess. I'll give you a little. We celebrate the shovel, but we dispense the spoon. And that really doesn't say anything about the other person. What it really says is that the shovelfuls of acceptance that we've gotten from God aren't enough. And so instead of dispensing shovelfuls of acceptance ourselves, we turn around because that acceptance we don't feel is quite enough. And so we dispense spoonfuls. What we need to do is we need to celebrate the shovel and we need to dispense the shovel. You see, when I believe and I own that God looks at me in the mirror, and what he sees when he looks at me is he sees someone that he loves. When I really feel that way, when I feel like I am loved by God, when I feel that God appreciates me, when I feel like God really sees me as a rare and beautiful treasure, and I live with the realization that I am forgiven, that God has extended his mercy and his grace to me. You know what that does to me? It changes me on the inside. It changes my life, my outlook. It just wrecks me. I begin to live understanding more clearly why it is that God holds me to a high standard. I begin to live with a realization that, yes, he has a special calling on my life. And I live believing, internalizing that he is cheering me on, that he really believes in me. And to the degree that I believe that and I internalize that in my life, it affects how I interact and how I treat everybody else in my life. So when God challenges us to imitate him, and to love like Jesus, no, we're not going to do it perfectly. But what God is going to do is he's going to give us the love, and he's going to give us the grace, and he's going to give us the mercy, where over time, we go becoming, as we strive to imitate God and love like Jesus, he's going to give us the grace and mercy and inner strength to go becoming more and more and more like Jesus. So even if this challenge, even if this dare is unreachable, just pursuing it will unquestionably make you a better person. And it will augment your life and your reality. So imitate God and love like Jesus. Make that the goal, the ambition, the objective of your life, to live your life imitating God and loving like Jesus. Instead of little spoonfuls of love to people around you, give them a shovelful of love. Overflow with love, sacrificial love. Instead of a spoonful of attention, give them a shovelful of attention, shovelfuls of affirmation, shovelfuls of acceptance, shovelfuls of encouragement. And don't worry about overdoing it. Oh, what if people think I'm weird? What if they think I love them too much? What if they think I care about them too much? Get over it. Man, make being a shoveler like Jesus, like God. Make that the norm in your life, and just keep shoveling grace and mercy and forgiveness and acceptance. Celebrate the shovel and dispense the shovel. As we begin to internalize and own who God says we are, and we start imitating God, following his example, and loving like Jesus. And instead of giving out little spoonfuls, we begin to give shovelfuls to people in our lives. It's going to undoubtedly augment our reality. And it is undoubtedly going to augment our relationships with the people around us and with God. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to be feeling better about ourselves. We're going to like ourselves. And we're going to be more refreshed and energized, because when we infuse confidence and value into other people and we overflow love into the people in our lives, that's just what it does. It just augments our own life. It just makes our own lives better. We're going to wrap up and we're going to pray here in just a moment. But no, we will never fully, perfectly imitate God or love like Jesus. But if we will come to God in humility, not based on pride, not based on our accomplishments, but we will surrender to him and we'll accept his love and his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy. If we begin to live imitating God and loving like Jesus and giving shovelfuls instead of little spoonfuls, it'll change us. It'll augment our reality. And it'll change us. It'll change our marriage. It'll change our family. It'll change our relationships. It'll change our view of how we see our jobs. It will change things in our lives because we are imitating God and loving like Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting to augment our reality so we can have something better in life. Some of you here, when you look in the mirror, the truth is you don't like what you see. You feel unworthy. You feel inadequate. You feel like you're not enough. You're drawn to God, but there's so many things that you've done wrong. But God's forgiveness and his mercy and his grace are available based on what Jesus did by dying on the cross. He wants to augment your reality, to enhance your life in this world and your relationship with him. Lord, my prayer is it right now in this moment that you would give individuals here the capacity to understand, to internalize, to grasp how much you love them. And if you're here and you've never opened your life up to Jesus, right where you are right now, you could pray and say, I need you, Jesus. When I look in the mirror, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I need your forgiveness. And today, best I know how, I am accepting that forgiveness. If you come to Jesus and just now you express that to him, he has just now forgiven you. The slate has been washed clean. You say, Jesus, I want to live for you. And I hope all of us will pray and say, God, I want to take the challenge to imitate you, to follow your example, and to love like Jesus. God, I want to give shovelfuls, not spoonfuls, to people in my life. God, I want to see myself the way you see me, as loved, as appreciated, as a rare and beautiful treasure, as forgiven. Understanding that you have a high standard for me, that you've made available to me your grace and your mercy, and you have a special calling for my life. and you're cheering for me. And you believe in me. Would you pray in your heart and say, today I'm taking the dare, I'm taking the challenge to imitate you, God, and to love like Jesus. God, that's our prayer. That's what we offer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.